The following is a presentation of Morning Drive Media.
Welcome to the TNF Hotline on the Knapsack Files. Your calls, your voice, your thoughts, and your host, Ken Knapsack.
Well, hello there, and welcome to the TNF Hotline, episode 12 of this series. Here on the Knapsack Files podcast feed, we like to do these about once a month. So excited to get to your calls, as Matty D says in the intro all the time. This show is fueled by you all. Your thoughts, your questions, everything going on out there in your brains. We get to have a conversation, essentially. All right, it's like a conversation in parts. I love doing it here. And you can be part of that by going to patreon.com/Knapsack Files. Tier 3 supporters are higher. Get access to the Google Voice message system. Or this month, first time, what we're doing here is we're adding the Discord server that's attached to the Patreon page. Great community over there. And now you can go and drop some voice files in there that I can pull for this show. And I got some good ones here today. I got three really good ones. Two kind of total coincidence themed. And then we got one that's perfectly timed for what's going on in my life, which is why I love this show, because what's going on with me is probably going on with you, and let's all work through it together here. It's what I love doing. And this is also the first show, public show, I should say, on the Knapsack Files podcast feed that has been made by Rodecaster Pro, the new integrated podcast production console by Rode. And I will say the fine folks at Rode sent me one to kind of play around with, to learn, to get to know, and I have already fallen in love. I've fallen in lust and love with it. It is so good. But that also means I'll be playing around with some of the settings, things going on. So it might sound loud here, soft here, and I'm learning on the fly. But I want to show you guys what it's capable of. And eventually this will open up some great things, including phone calls with some guests that I want to interview who are far, far away. Maybe not in a galaxy, or maybe in a galaxy far, far away. We don't know. So that's where I'm working on some things in 2019. And thank you also for those who supported me in 2018. And that's whether it's on Patreon, whether you just follow me on Twitter and Instagram or like my Facebook page, whether you go visit my website, knapsackfiles.podomatic.net, whether you've subscribed on Apple Podcasts, listened to me on Stitcher, Google, Spotify, iHeartMedia, but have spread the word and joined the conversation. 2018 was a great year for the Knapsack Files, and I'm looking forward to conquering 2019, and I cannot do that without you. Which is why I like doing this show, so I can hear your voices. All right, we are ready for the first call. This is so exciting. Thanks to the Rodecaster Pro, I can do this live in the console. I can get it going, and it's going to be played right in my ears, just as it is played in yours. I'm a lazy editor. I don't like editing afterwards. I like getting right to it. So let's do that with our first call.
Hey, Ken, this is Matthew Thompson calling from Sackville, New Brunswick, Canada. Frozen Sackville, New Brunswick, Canada. My question for you this week, have you ever been storm stuck? I've been stuck in my house for 3 days straight now because of snowstorms, ice storms, and various weather-related stuff where you basically have to stay inside and not go anywhere. And I got a little cabin fever. I'm just wondering if that's ever happened to you. Talk to you later. Thanks, bye.
All right, Matt's calling from the Great White North, right? North of the wall, truly north of the wall. And I got to say, I haven't experienced that. I haven't experienced on the level you're describing, Matt, and I haven't experienced on the level a lot of you out there probably have. And in a way, I'm jealous, but in a way, I'm not. Look, we've had some storms, and, you know, all right, so I'm raised in Southern California, raised by the beach, but hey, we've had some storms. We've had some more. You know, I've talked before about the pier being torn down by the waves in like 82, 83 when I first, my family first moved to Pismo Beach, Arroyo Grande, that kind of situation. But of course, we were never locked in, you know, and it rains or rains. You can get out in the rains. Just last week, it was raining 4 straight days here in Los Angeles and SoCal, and, you know, 4 straight days of rain for us. It affects us. I think everyone's mood was starting to be affected. Some friends of mine were getting really grumpy. Saw one of them happen on a show that where a lot of people you might watch. A real bad incident happened, and I actually really do blame that one a lot on the rain. Blame it on the rain. So I haven't experienced, though, what Matthew was talking about, and I can't imagine it, though. I am worried, though. I am worried because at the time of this recording, I am all set to head to New York City this weekend for the live movie trivia Schmodown event. I might be seeing some of you there. and to co-host the Mark Ellis Comedy Show the night before, Friday the 25th. Go to markellislive.com for tickets. I do believe some are still available. And that's going to be a lot of fun. Oh, it's going to be great. But we are heading into New York in January, and I am anticipating some rough weather. I have a friend out there, previous Knapsack Files guest, Jawan, used to work with me over at Screen Junkies and Defy, and he's out there going, man, it is like 6 degrees and falling. It's miserable. And I'm looking on the phone app, the weather app on the phone. And now, you know, you get a good sense a few days out, right? But I don't really trust 10-day forecasts. It's a good hint at what might be coming. But even like that, the rain here that we experienced in beautiful Burbank last week, it's like you pull out the phone app, be like, oh, it's sunny tomorrow. You wake up. And it's the old joke about meteorologists and how can you predict the weather, blah, blah, blah. I'm not worried about that. But the phone app is telling me, the weather app is saying some snow's coming in on Sunday. Now, I remember one time I flew out of Tennessee. I had to go up to, it wasn't Tri-Cities Airport, I think it was, which is just outside Johnson City and the other cities that are connected to it. And God, what is that other? Is it King City? Something? I don't know. Whatever. Tri-Cities Airport. And that was the first time I had to fly away in like snow. But I wouldn't call it a snowstorm. Snow was falling. They were de-icing the plane, which I'm always like, is this, are we gonna say this technology works? We're putting our faith in this one? Oh, okay. And it was a smaller plane. And I'm like, this is how this bad stories happen, right? So I was fine. I saw on the little app, you know, the little cute snowflake, which is such a thing, you know, you got the clouds, you got the sunshine, you got a little happy sunshine face, maybe a water drop for rain, and then you got the cute little snowflake. Little snowflakes are, you know, you're a cute individual. We're all unique, but really that's a symbol for a winter storm. It could be really bad, right? And so I was like, oh, it's snowing. I better double up my socks, said the SoCal guy. All you out there in the other places of the Knapsack Files fandom, whether it's in Canada or Norway or anywhere else where the snow is something fierce, East Coast, you're probably laughing at me now. I'm like, should I just wear 2 or 3 socks with my Converse in the winter storm? What should I do? What should I do? But I hadn't thought about it. Then we were recording Force Center this week, and my good pal Joseph Scribshaw, co-host of Force Center, co-creator of Force Center, is, of course, from Minnesota. So he knows a little bit about snowstorms. And we're talking, and he goes, well, you could get flying back Sunday, and we're talking about our Force Center recording schedule. It's like you could get snowed in somehow, you know? You might not be able to take off. You could be stuck there. Stuck in the city. Maybe fly out Monday morning. I'm like, oh no, I hadn't even thought about that. So Matt, when I got your call, it was so weird because I've never experienced it. And then I'm like, am I gonna be one of those people like locked in an airport for 5 hours, 12 hours overnight, and I have to do one of those YouTube videos where like, I was locked in an airport for 7 hours at JFK Airport, and I danced around all parts of the airport. Here's a video. I mean, that would be great because those videos seem to go viral every time. It happens all, like 12 videos have gone viral over, you know, some young person locked in an airport. I'm going to dance everywhere. I'm just precocious. So maybe that'll be it. Old white guy dances in airport. 12 million views, or if it was me, about 12 views. But I'm oddly, I hope it doesn't happen because I want to get home. I love going places. I love traveling. I also love getting home. So I'm hoping it doesn't happen. But Matt, you got me thinking about it. I just can't imagine, you know, listening to the making of The Empire Strikes Back, whether it's any documentary Empire Dreams or that kind of lost empire documentary that's out there on YouTube, or even just reading some of the books. One of my favorite stories, and Irvin Kershner, the late Irvin Kershner, is the director, tells it about how like there's that one shot of like Luke on Hoth kind of walking in the snow. He's about to collapse. He's trying to get the little scarf over his face. And like, I think it's that scene they shot just outside the hotel where they were shooting because they got snowed in. They couldn't get the crew out. They couldn't get the film crew out and about on location. So they just kind of opened up the front of the hotel doors there, set up a camera, and they all sat on the inside sipping hot chocolate, having some marshmallows, and they sent Mark Hamill out. And I've always been fascinated by that. Like, what would that be to, like, you're stuck here? It's almost like a zombie apocalypse. It's happening. You're there. You know, I watched Bird Box the other day, and I actually, you know, enjoyed it enough. Perfect? No, I don't need it to be. But it's like that, or like The Mist, where, like, you're stuck. This is where you're at. You are stuck here. I think that's why we all want to run to a mall. There's a lot of options there, you know. You can go raid the hot dog on a stick, get some clothes. It's all there, right? That's why we all want to run to the mall. But the idea of getting stuck, and this is where you're at. You can't. What you have is what you have. It's frightening to me. And you're talking, Matt, about the mental toll of that. Cabin fever. I mean, that's a real thing, right? You can start hacking through the walls with an axe just to get out. And I'm someone who loves the rain. When it rains in SoCal, man, I love it. But the four straight days, or I'm thinking back, God, 2004 was a crazy kind of El Nino year out here where houses were falling off cliffs, all that kind of stuff. I loved it. But there was at one point you're just like, I just want to see the sun again. Please, please, God, send me the sun. Just a ray of sunshine. So, Matthew, what you're talking about, being stuck inside for 3 days, I've never experienced it. Don't know if I want to, but I'm oddly intrigued at the possibility. We'll see. We'll see if I can survive in a snowpocalypse. I'm good. Here's the one thing I'll say. I am good at just kind of slowly or quietly, I should say, just entertaining myself. Ever since I was a kid, my mom tells a story. She was pregnant with my sister, got real sick. I was like, you know, 3 years old, whatever. And my mom couldn't move. She if she sat upright, she would barf. Before cell phones, couldn't get to the phone to call my dad at work. And all she could do was lay on the couch and hope it passed. And here I am on the floor next to her, all like 3.5 years old, just playing with matchbox cars, spinning the wheels the whole day. My dad came home. Everything was fine. I think I could do that for at least a day and a half, maybe two. I could stretch it for two. I will say, though, and I don't know if you do this, Matt, or anyone out there listening who gets snowed in or weathered in any kind of capacity, I would think by the second afternoon, I'm talking to myself, having full-blown conversations. I think that's where my mind would go. I do it already. I play 2 hours of Red Dead Redemption, and I shut it off, and I'm walking around my house talking to no one, but just explaining my actions. Well, I felt I needed to rob that bank. I felt that they deserved it, and I wanted to send that money to the people who needed it. That's why I did it. It lowered my morality, but in my heart, it raised what I'm capable of. Like, and I'm talking to the walls. So I can only imagine, if like, Ken, you're stuck in here. You're stuck in here. And God forbid if I don't have, like, electricity or power and I can't just, you know, tune out and watch TV or something like that or play a game. You know, if you were like, hey, Ken, you're stuck in your apartment for 3 days because of the snow, but you got Red Dead Redemption and that's the only thing you can do, I'd be like, I'm great. We're good. See you on the other side. Go make a snowman. But if you're like, oh, here's a candle and that's about it, then we got a problem. And I'm definitely talking to myself, probably even arguing with myself by late in the second day. So, Matt, I wish you luck in current and all future weathered in situations, and I'll let you know. We'll see what happens when I head to NYC. All right, let's go to the next call.
Hey, everybody, DJ Snacks here. Hi, Ken. So I was wondering, when you're getting ready to go on a trip like you are here shortly in New York, are you a checklist guy or a no checklist guy? Do you just throw whatever in the suitcase and roll and hope that you have everything? Or do you go down the list and check it all off one box at a time? Thanks for taking my question. Have a good day.
All right, DJ Snacks. You can listen to him talk on his internet radio station, Temporal Radio, staple in our Patreon community. He also cleans up after all the business meetings we have in the Knapsack Files boardroom, which we do a big broadcast once a month, kind of like a business call from me to you. Like, I'm Uncle Bob Iger of Disney, except for my suits are not as expensive. Anyways, DJ Snacks, perfect question. Matt and DJ Snacks didn't know they were asking these questions together. And I am, yeah, so I'm heading out to New York, right? And come back, flip around, a couple days later, got to go to Arizona with Mark Ellis and Josh McCuga for a comedy show out there. February 1st, Pub Rock Live. Or Pub Rock Live? Yeah, I think that's it. Pub Rock Live. Just go to markellislive.com for all the information. Tickets still available, particularly for the second show. So if you're in the Arizona area and want to come see us do comedy and hang out and pop a few back, get on out there. markellislive.com. But packing, it's an interesting thing. I am a notorious overpacker. If I head home to my parents' house for a little visit, which I've done off and on for the last 20 years now, it is a quick 2.5, at the most, 3-hour drive. One time there was a traffic situation, 3.5, all right? That's at the most. Most of the time, especially when I was living deep in the valley and I was a little closer to getting out of town, getting out of SoCal faster, it'd be like 2 hours and 23 minutes. I could time it. It's not a long time. I'm in my car. So because of that, if you give me a car, this is why I fear maybe for McCougan and Ellis at the second leg of our little comedy tour here. If you got a car, because we're driving Arizona, if you give me a car, I feel as though I've got the ability to bring a lot. Even if I'm going for 2.5 days, you know, you get there that night and you leave 2 days later. I historically, and I don't know, I'm sure I have, it's like show of hands, who are my overpackers and who are the, you know, efficient packers. And I'm not saying I'm right. In fact, I kind of have grown to learn that I'm wrong. I will just pack for all the options. Not, you know, toiletries, you know, if I'm gone for 3 days, 8 pairs of underwear, you know, maybe, all right, you're right, 10. I should, all right, 11. Socks, pants, options. And yeah, like a lot of people mentally, I've got like, I got to do this. I got to go to dinner with some friends there. I might be in public. Most of the time I'll be home. I'm going to do some maybe walking or hiking in the morning with the parents. Let me bring the workout gear bag. And there's times, and I've shown up, that I've shown up to my parents' house with like 4 bags, like a workout bag, clothes bag, tech bag with reading material, and then maybe some laundry because it's a chance for me, even at my age, to do some coin-free laundry, right? Like we're going to do it all. We're packing up and I'm hitting the road. It is like I am a cowboy heading west. I got a wagon full. And then if I go to play, like Las Vegas, every year I go to Las Vegas roughly in the springtime for the Cauliflower Alley Club reunion, Pro Wrestling Alumni Association big event, and that can be long. I am in Vegas sometimes from like Sunday afternoon, Sunday night to Thursday morning. That's a long time to be in Vegas. You got to really budget accordingly, you know, not steak dinners every night, hit a Subway sandwich, and then you can gamble a little bit more, right? You got to pace yourself. And there's events to do and all that kind of stuff. And that's the thing. There's events. There's like 2 separate banquets on a Tuesday night and a Wednesday night. Tuesday night, you don't have to be totally fancy. Wednesday, you kind of do. You got 2 wrestling shows that you can attend to and just kind of hang out. And that's Sunday night and Monday night. And then there's events and stuff during the day, and you're seeing a lot of people. And then, of course, you know, you're in Vegas, and you're in Vegas with your friends, so you're going to head out. So Sunday through Thursday, and then because it's kind of an immediate event and I want to cover it, I'll bring podcasting gear. And what's nice is the gear in my repertoire has changed over the years. The first year I went to CAC, so my friend Paul drives out, and first couple years it's just me and him. Now his wife joins us, and there was another friend, Jay. You guys have heard Jay Whiskey Fist McIntosh here in the Knapsack Files before as well. Wrestling friend of mine, and we've driven out too, the three of us. But again, I'm driving. I got a lot to get to when it comes to Las Vegas, and I might be recording. So my first year, I had this bag. I get one of my favorite travel kind of bags is I get what they call police war bags. So you can go to like a uniform company, Galls is who I go to. Not a sponsor, but I use them religiously, right? Very loyal customer to them. So even going back to my security days, like what you go to Galls and I'd order what they call. They're not, I don't think on Galls or not officially, you can't type in war bag, but they're just kind of commonly referred to as little war bags. And they're great. They're the best carrying bags around. You can get different sizes, little kind of, you know, because you're putting some important stuff in there, right? Compartments, secret compartments, all, and they're sturdy. You could throw them at people. Don't throw them at people. And so when I started to, I carry them around for my book bags, but then I started getting into the podcasting in 2013. I was like, well, I got to be able to travel with this gear, four mic stands, a mixer, all those kind of things. I'm going to get a war bag. And so I got like the biggest war bag possible because, you know, it also serves as a storage facility at home. My first year to Vegas for the CAC, not my first year to Vegas overall, but for the CAC, the Cauliflower Alley event, because I knew I was going to be setting up in my hotel room podcasting gear. I had this giant bag. It took up like the whole back of Paul's car. And Paul's, he packs a lot too, but he's also a police officer. So, yeah, nice war bag. And he's got his own too. But he was like, man, what if we can't fit everything in this? We had to like squish it all in. And then, so that's just my podcasting gear. Then I had a garment bag for the suit. Then I had my other tech, just my laptop and other things, an overflow for the podcasting gear. Then my clothes. And then you don't know what's going to go on in Vegas. So that was like the peak of it. My old friend and roommate Lou used to always make fun of me. He'd see me because he's a very efficient light packer. He'll go to like Europe with a backpack, you know, and not that he's like backpacking through Europe. I'm in Europe for 2 weeks. You're right. I might need a duffel bag, not a backpack. He always used to make fun of me. But if I have the luxury, I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it. If I'm driving somewhere, I'm going to do it. I'm going to bring as much as possible. However, and I got these trips coming up, what really started to change it, and I'm almost Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde on this now. I haven't fully changed. I started having to travel to conventions when I was working for Screen Junkies. Like, I got the job, started the job, and like the second day, they were like, oh, by the way, in 3 weeks, you're going to Chicago for Wizard World. Oh, okay. At that time, I had flown, but I wasn't a great flyer. Got over that, and got over how to get through. Like, I'm actually pretty proud at how good I am at navigating airports, particularly LAX, JFK, even O'Hare, like in and out, like I'm pretty good with it. New Orleans airport was good too. Like, I'm okay with it. Like, I feel it's like a weird accomplishment. Are you good with airports? Yes, I am. Can you give me the job? But even then, You kind of learned, you have to learn early on, you know, you're on the go. You're at a convention, you got a crowded plane, and you're trying to keep costs down. You're trying to keep your own costs down, so you don't want to check bags, and that can be expensive. And a lot of times, you know, it's not always that you're going out on some nice airline. Sometimes you're that one airline that's like yellow planes, and they just buy used planes, gut them, and put like park benches in there and a seatbelt, and then they charge you for every, oh, you want a drink of water? $20. You want access to the bathroom? $30. Oh, you bring in a bag that you want us to check? $150. So we just had to, like, you have to, and you're on the go. So here I am, this overpacker, and I was actually terrified. How do I do this? So I had a backpack, and I had downgraded a lot of my podcast gear, and you start getting smaller devices and all that kind of stuff, so I could carry it all in a backpack. So I emptied out that backpack, and I packed for Chicago with just that backpack. 3 days, technically Rosemont, you know, we're not downtown Chicago there. The convention floor, I had a suit jacket I wore on the plane, and your hat, you bring minimal stuff, and then the thing, and a lot of you out there listening, especially if you're efficient packers, I don't know what you are, Snacks. Sounds like you're efficient. You know that, you know, you don't have to bring every toiletry, especially when, you know, most hair creams might be considered, you know, explosive devices now. As cool, I'm fine. Let's not have those on the plane. So land, go to the hotel little shop. They got something there. All you need might be there. Bring your personal essentials. But then when you get there, just spend a couple bucks on something that's going to get you through the weekend. Toss it. You're done. Or give it to someone else. You know, if you got some leftover stuff, leftover toothpaste, here you go. Here you go, random stranger. Toothpaste is yours. I think that's a trick too. And so I started to learn. I started to adjust. Then we had to go to New York. 3 days in New York. I had just a backpack. I went a little bigger, I think, a little bigger. Started carrying two bags by the time we got to Star Wars Celebration in Orlando, because they got to bring a lot of Star Wars shirts. And I think that's good, because to me, one of the keys, unless you have to, and some of you have to, if you're a cosplayer, I understand, I completely aware that if you are a female listener and you got to carry, maybe you got to carry more outfits, it's a little easier for us. I apologize. I am sorry from the bottom of my heart. Totally get it. So this isn't judgment. If you got to check a bag or you got to bring a bigger suitcase than I do, get it. 100% get it. This is my personal story though. I have learned to break it down, be efficient, and really kind of survive what you got. And know that, Lord willing, if you got some cash or at least a good credit card and a credit line that's open, a lot of things that you need, you can get in town. One of the best times I had in New York, my first trip in October 2015 for New York Comic Con. Yeah, I walked around the city with Dan Merle and all these cool things. But my favorite, we had to get some supplies we didn't bring with us. And so on my own, I had to go search. Thank God I had that phone. But I go search Midtown Manhattan for the stores I needed by myself, roaming the city. Yeah, so romantic. Me in the city looking for markers. And I actually learned how to kind of get around New York, not counting the subways, but kind of get around and move and shake and feel like I belong there by going around looking for supplies that we had forgot to pack. And that's the other thing too, is lowering that anxiety. And going back to like being trapped in the snow, like, you know, I sometimes have that fear of control. That's why I do like to drive a lot of places. A lot of people take the train down to San Diego Comic-Con or fly on vacations. Yeah, obviously, you know, you can't drive cross-country all the time. I get that. But if I can drive, I can get there in a reasonable amount of time, even Vegas. I do not like flying to Vegas. I like driving to Vegas. For me, it's only 4, maybe at most 5 hours, sometimes, depending if you're say, riding with your friend who's a police officer who's not afraid of being pulled over. I've been to Vegas in 3 hours and 20 minutes from Los Angeles. So I like the ability to drive because I like that control. I have a weird thing, you know, Matt talking about weather, and the weather you can't really control. I have a weird thing about emergencies, man. I like having my car. I like knowing I can get away. San Diego Comic-Con's crowded. It's so many people, 170,000 people squished into one area, one beautiful little downtown that's overrun. Taking the train down is convenient if you can get there on the right, less crowded cattle car like train ride down. But if something, Lord willing, God willing, something bad happens there, aliens land. Aliens just come out of the ocean right there next to the convention center, come out of the water there, the bay. I want to know why I can get in my Camry and get the hell out of Dodge. So a lot of that is giving up that control. And when you're flying, and you got 3 days ahead of you, just knowing that, hey, worst case scenario, I need a new pair of underpants. There's got to be somewhere in town I can grab those underpants, hopefully by purchasing them. So DJ Snacks, perfectly timed question, because again, I'm flying out, time of this recording, I'm flying out like Thursday night. Haven't even thought of packing. A couple hours before, I'll pull out the backpacks. As I'm recording right now, I have a rough plan only because I was in a Target the other day buying some long underpants. Actually, it turns out they were more so SoCal. I couldn't find like traditional long underpants like a prospector would wear. I had to go get like some athletic, you know, super liquid resistant, sweat resistant, sexy long sport underpants. I don't know what it was, but it's supposed to keep me warm. The box said warmest. That's all I know. But I was there and I saw they had like a little travel aisle. It's like, I don't know, I'm leaving. I've got 2 trips back, but maybe I want a new suitcase. I can't afford it, but maybe I want a new suitcase. I went down the aisle and it's like me in an office supply store. I don't need office supplies, but I'll go to one and be like, oh, I need everything in here to organize my life. I must buy all these. I need these markers. You know how many dry erase markers I have? I just buy them. Be in the grocery store. Oh, I need some new dry erase markers. I don't, but I'm going to get them. So I just saw some cool things. I'm like, oh, that might work for my trip. And I was like, no. We're going to do this in one backpack. Maybe two if I want to bring a second pair of jeans. So if you see me out there in New York, just know I'm probably wearing the same pair of underpants as I had the night before. I'm kidding. I always pack multiple pairs. All right. Couple fun questions, couple theme questions about weather and traveling and all that kind of stuff. But I've got a great call here from Kai. He's a regular good friend of the show. And I like what his question is about.
Hello there, Ken, and hello, Knapsack Files listeners. This is Kai. So my question today is about taking the next step, and especially taking the next step when you don't have any direction. So, for example, right now I just finished a big project that I've been working on for the last couple of months, and I don't know what to do next. And this could apply, I guess, to anybody who's in a situation like maybe they're in school and they don't know what to do next, or they're in a job that's grown stale and they're looking for some direction. So, Ken, what do you do? Do you have a process that you go through to try to figure these things out, or do you kind of just sit and wait for the universe to throw something into your lap? Thank you, and have a good day.
All right, Kai, I love that. I love that. I love that because it's perfectly timed to my own life, which means it's time to Kai's life, and it's probably time to someone out there. And I don't have the answer, and that's the first thing I always love to say. I don't have this answer. You only can approach each situation with a little bit of experience, a little bit of knowledge, and just a lot of hope, right? So yes, what Kai is talking about, he's talking about something planning ahead, looking ahead, but also with maybe something big and done, project in the rearview mirror, and you put all your energy into that, some big thing in life, and then you're looking ahead. Now, first of all, there's always a problem with, you know, it's like Yoda said to Luke, you know, never your mind on where you are, what you're doing. Well, that's human nature, and I think it's important. I was talking with a friend of mine this weekend about that, about we live in this perpetual state of, you know, not really, things aren't good as they could be now, but we always are looking towards what's better, and we kind of have to be in that state because otherwise you just grow stagnant, right? You don't, if you're not looking ahead and seeing what you can do, you might just stay where you are. But also, it's important to concentrate on where you are. So let's just say, for my own life, I have put a lot of effort, a lot of work into a project. Some of you know, I've mentioned it some places, and particularly on Patreon, but I haven't announced it publicly. But I've been writing a thing. We're working on it really hard for 5 months. And it is, for the most part, done and in my rearview mirror. And I've got to figure out what's coming next. 2018 was a big transition year for me, big transition year for my career. And now I am looking ahead, and I'm trying to formulate a plan, and I am not, it's funny, Snacks talking about packing, and am I a checklist person or I'm not. I'm not a checklist person in life in a lot of ways. I feel a lot of things out, and I've really trusted my gut over the years, and I just know what's right, even when, you know, I've made, like when I left the mall, my day job, and took that big leap, I told some friends, you know, I think the Screen Junkies thing might go. I don't know. Give me 2 years. That's all I want with it. It went about a year in 5 months. Collider thing. It was a risk. I don't know. Not necessarily on steady ground. We'll see if I can get a year, 2 years. It went about a year now. So even those gut feelings don't necessarily take you to the promised land. They just take you to the next thing. And I still believe in that. I still follow that. Yeah, I got a spiritual side to me. Some of you might not. Some of you might not want that. Some of you very logical and want to make those checklists. And I don't think that's a bad way. That's why I don't say it's right. You just got to do what's right for you. And Kai, while you're searching for what's next, really take a moment to calm down, hear yourself, and hear what you want to do. And I think there's a delicate balance in what you want is realistic, what do you really need to do behind those kind of things, and doing what's right. I've learned a lot about doing what's right for me and doing more things on my own or with the people I really want to work with. And I value independence in my creative career. It might not be something that's long term. This just might be this current chapter. As a freelance content creator, a lot of you out there are yourselves. And it's really hard. I'm in a hard spot, but I'm trying to focus on what's next. And it's daunting and it is overwhelming. It is overwhelming. But we talked about last week, if you listened on the Three Things episode, when we talked about what Albert Brooks had told Conan O'Brien, when Conan was nervous and flustered in front of him because you're Albert Brooks and you make films and you have a legacy and I make stupid late night shows and they're temporary. And Albert Brooks says, hey, none of it matters. That's kind of where I am at. That's why that came to me last week in an important part of my life. And I love you bringing this up, Kai, because I'm sure I'm not alone. I'm at a point in my life where I have to figure out what is next. I don't quite know, and that's scary and that's daunting. But what I do know is that any risk I take, as long as I'm above ground, it doesn't matter. And there's so much freedom in that. And I don't want to remix completely what we talked about last week, but it's still in my heart and it's still pretty valuable. So right now, there's some things for me in my career that I'm looking at creatively that I want to do, or some things that maybe even creatively that, I don't want to do, or things that aren't creative at all that I might have to do, because we do have to have this thing called money and pay those things called bills. Those are the realities. But I think, to the bigger point, Kai, I just don't know. And there's a certain kind of freedom in just not knowing. It means I'm going to figure it out. And I do believe things do come along. But you have to be able to take those chances and risks. You'll know. You'll know, Kai. And anyone out there listening, you'll know. And be careful about focusing on just the next thing. I got to get in a relationship. We got to get engaged. We got to get married. We got to have a kid. We got to have a house. We got to have a yard. We got to have a dog. We got to have this. We got to have that. Oh, none of those things are bad. None of those things should just happen. You should plan for those things. But you notice there's always that thing, the next, the next, the next. And here I am. I worked really hard on this project last few months. It's all I focused on. Tried to focus as best I could on the Napstock Files and Force Center and give my attention where it needed to be professionally, because I have obligations. But this was the thing. This is the thing. Well, now that thing is mostly finished, and now it's just a matter of the public taking it in. And it's like, but already I need to find the next thing beyond that. And that can be a dangerous drug, just going pillar to post. What is next? So that said, though, I think you'll know, Kai. You'll feel when the next thing is. I remember wanting so much to leave my day job. So much. Ended up being in it for 17 years. And I just wanted to get out of the situation I was in and make more money for myself. All these kind of things. And I got offered the chance to go to New Orleans post-Katrina to take over the management of the security department of like several malls out there to rebuild what was going on. And, that's not my career goal. Certainly it wasn't then. I was more focused on writing like screenplays and doing stand-up comedy. But it was like, here's an opportunity to maybe go get ahead a little bit. And the offer was a member of my company who's known me for a long time, really respected me, and he wasn't a snake oil salesman, but he was trying to lay it on, like, hey, you know, this is a good opportunity. Even creatively, you can go do some stuff out there. You can be a stand-up comic out there. You'd be a bigger fish in a smaller pond, trying to sell me on that kind of thing. And it was good. It was really good. It's a really good opportunity, and I didn't have a choice. Later on, I've told you all here on the Napstock Files, I had a choice. When I left my day job finally after 17 years to go work for Screen Junkies, I had a choice. I had a big promotion put in front of me on the day I announced I was resigning, and I had an actual choice to make. Do or you don't, A or B, column A, column B, door right, door left. And that can be tough. That's a different conversation. But when it comes to like figuring out what's next, here I was. This is like 2005, so post-Katrina, maybe 2006. Things are still chaotic out there, but here was a way out. Here's what I wanted. And again, I'm a spiritual man, so it's like, all right, is God sending me a life raft? And he can send you all the life rafts that you want, but you're the one who has to decide to get on that life raft and get on out. So I was like, is this? I could get out of here. Yeah, I'd leave my friends, but I was in no relationship at the time. I can fly to see my family. I can always come back, which is a thing again. And nothing. Hey, if nothing really matters, you can take that risk. It's another big fall thing. But I was sitting there. I thought about it for days and days and days. And at the end of the day, if you ask me why I didn't do it, because I did not do it, I just had that feeling. Where that feeling comes from, where that signal is sent, I don't know. You tell me. I know what I believe. I don't know what you believe. Doesn't matter to me. It all focuses, it all comes down to this little fine laser beam that shoots straight to your gut. I just didn't feel it. So I said no. And I disappointed people. People were frustrated with me. But you've always told us, we know you. We know you personally. We know you work for us, Ken, but you're always telling us you want to do other things and maybe you want to change your life up. You've already been doing it at this point. I've been doing it 6-7 years. So they knew me enough to know, hey, you want out. But I had to stand my ground because I just didn't feel it. And all the pros and cons lists that you can make, which are all valuable, all the conversations I had with friends in and out of the business, family, didn't matter. And if family has their own agenda, yes, you know, we want you to do well, but hey, you're going to New Orleans. All these things. It all came down to a feeling. A feeling I can't fully explain, that I can't put in words, that I can't write down. So I said no. Later on, by the way, I talked to someone who's like, oh, were you offered that spot? Oh, God. Oh, you're so glad. You should be so glad you didn't do it. The guy who took the job had to sleep in his office for 6 months. There's no place for him to live out there. It was a mess. Problems. Hey, now things are a little bit better. Now things are settled. I just remember thinking, ah, that feeling was right. So Kai, as you search for the next thing, consider any and all options. Consider what you want to do. I'm considering what I really want to do. What do I want to put my name behind? What could I be happy with that's not only entertainment or podcasting? Because I don't want to be narrow focused as well at this point in my life. That's a whole other subject about that. Expanding your horizons. But I've got a list of things I'm looking at. You should have a list of things you're looking at. But at the end of the day, I really believe in that mystical, magical moment of getting the right feeling. So I hope, Kai, you can get that feeling. And you out there, if you need that feeling, let us know. Maybe pop into the Discord server if you're there. Here's some options. We'll help you find the feeling. But at the end of the day, it comes down to you. All right. We've talked about a lot of things. We've talked about the importance of packing. We've talked about the importance of not going crazy with cabin fever. Matt Thompson, I hope you're okay. Hope you can survive. And I hope at least you're having entertaining conversations with yourself. And special thanks to Kai with that real thought-provoking question. It got me thinking as well. And that is all today on the TNF Hotline. As always, I want to thank you all who contributed. This is through the Discord server on Patreon. As always, I got to thank my high-tier patrons. I love saying these names because these are the people that really get in the trenches with me and actually help me make some decisions. Like this Discord server thing was something that was talked about in the what we call the boardroom, the TNF boardroom on Discord. And that's people like Jason Humphreys over there in the UK, Pags, Kai Thatch, as we heard from him today, Kyle Gerben, Zach Anderson, Jonas Berger, and Corey Morissette, another Canadian up there probably getting snowed in, Graham Bell, Kyle Harlow designed some great t-shirts for me on tpublic.com/user/knapsack, my good buddy Ty Schellenberger, my good cousin, well, I mean, I have a lot of good cousins, my cousin Michelle, she's a supporter of me, follow her at Vegas 3D Kids, she's making these Knapsack Files keychains, some of them are already out to some high-tier supporters, Andrew Hale as well, my executive producers are David Hamm, that's DJ Snacks, heard from today, Sir Thomas Tatal, Thomas Risling, who's going to be helping me with Casterly Talk, Lethal Logan X, Matthew Simon Bador, Matthew Maroney, Matt Thompson, who called in today, Taymor and his brother Abdul, Nikki Baldwin, and Donald Long. I really appreciate Donald sent me some gifts recently. You can go to knapsackfiles.podomatic.net to get an address if you want to send me something there. Yeah, I don't know why, but some of you do, and I appreciate it. And as part of the community we're building here, like I said, you can go to patreon.com/knapsackfiles to support. But if you also want to support by listening, follow me on Twitter, telling people about the show. Believe you me, that is really important. So that is it for today. The TNF Hotline. Thank you to Rode for the Rodecaster Pro for making this show hopefully sound pretty darn good. We'll see you next time here on the TNF Hotline.